Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So continuing our reading from the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll be finishing the 15th chapter today. Texts 26 through 28. I believe 26 is on the board. The chapter is entitled The Saints Narada and Angira Instruct King Trichiketu. Tasmat Swastena Manasa Vimrishya Gatim Atmanaha Dvaite Dhruvarta Vishrambang Tyajo Pashramam Avisha. Tasmat Swastena Manasa Vimrishya Gatim Atmanaha Dvaite Dhruvarta Vishrambang Tyajo Pashamam Avisha. Tasmat Swastena Manasa Vimrishya Gatim Atmanaha Dvaite Dhruvarta Vishrambang Tyajo Pashamam Avisha. Tasmat Swastena Manasa Vimrishya Gatim Atmanaha Dvaite Dhruvarta Vishrambang Tyajo Pashamam Avisha. Swasena Manasa Vimrishya Gatim Atmanaha Dhruvarta Vishrambang Tyajo Pashamam Avisha. Tasmat Swasena Manasa Vimrishya Gatim Atmanaha Dvaite Dhruvarta Vishrambang Tyajo Pashamam Atmanaha Tasmat Swasena Manasa Atmanaha Vishrambang Tyajo Pashamam Avisha. Mataji's, please. Tasmat Swastena Manasa Vimrishya Gatim Atmanaha Dvaite Dhruvarta Vishrambang Tyajo Pashamam Avisha. Tasmat, therefore, Swastena, with a careful Manasa, mind, Vimrishya, considering, Gatim, real position, Atmanaha, of yourself, Dvaite, in the duality, Dhruva, as permanent, Artha, object, Vishrambam, belief, Tyaja, give up, Upashramam, a peaceful condition, Avisha, take two. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Therefore, O King Trichiketu, carefully consider the position of the Atma. In other words, Try to understand who you are, whether body, mind, or soul. Consider where you have come from, where you are going after giving up this body, and why you are under the control of material lamentation. Try to understand your real position in this way, and then you will be able to give up your unnecessary attachment. You will also be able to give up the belief that this material world, or anything not directly in touch with the service to Krishna, is eternal. Thus you will obtain peace. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is factually endeavoring to bring human society to a sober condition. Because of a misdirected civilization, people are jumping in materialistic life like cats and dogs, performing all sorts of abominable, sinful actions, and becoming increasingly entangled. The Krishna consciousness movement includes self-realization because one is first directed by Lord Krishna to understand that one is not the body, but the owner of the body. When one understands this simple fact, he can direct himself towards the goal of life. Because people are not educated in terms of the goal of life, they are working like madmen, becoming more and more attached to the material atmosphere. The misguided man accepts the material condition as everlasting. One must give up his faith in material things and give up attachment for them. Then one will be sober and peaceful. Next verse. Sri Narada Vacha Itam Mantra Panishadang Praticha Prayato Mama Yangdarayan Saptara Ratrad Rashta Sankarshanang Vibhum. Translation. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear king, attentively receive from me a mantra which is most auspicious. After accepting it from me, in 7 nights you will be able to see the Lord face to face." Text 28. Yat padam mulam upashritya narendra purve sarvadayo brahmam imang dvaitayan visrijya sadyastadiyam atulana dikam mahitvam Prapor bhavamapi paramna chirarupaiti. Translation. My dear king, in former days Lord Shiva and other demigods took shelter of the lotus feet of Sankarshan. Thus they immediately got free from the illusion of duality and achieved unequaled and unsurpassed glories in spiritual life. You will very soon attain that very same position. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purport to the 6th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Saints Narada and Angira Instruct King Chitraketu. Om Gaunya Timurandasya Agananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umili Tangena Tasmai Shri Gurve Maha Namaung Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasai Bhutale Srimate Praladananda Swami Devane Namaung Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasai Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Devane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vacharne Nivrishesha Shunyavadi Paschayati Adesha Tarne. So this whole section is very important for us, and especially the very end here. The saints Angira and Narada Muni are instructing King Chitraketu with some very important instructions for how to factually break this illusion of material existence, giving some different ideas, different ways of contemplating about who we are and what our position is here in this material world. King Chitraketu is instructed, try to understand who you are, whether body, mind, or soul. Consider where you have come from, where you are going after giving up this body, and why you are under the control of material lamentation. So these are very simple directions, but they have such profound results. I remember years ago, questions similar to this is what got me interested in spiritual life in the first place. I was much younger. I was actually just before I turned 21. I was in college trying to fit in the whole social scene as most kids do. And then all of a sudden my hair started falling out. But not in an ordinary way, you know, in clumps. Can you imagine? A little kid, you know, 20 years old, trying to be, you know, Mr. Popular or whatever. And then just like clumps of hair is falling out. It's like a pretty shocking thing. And you don't really realize how much of your personal identity is wrapped up in your hair, of all things, until you involuntarily lose it. And so, you know, it was kind of like a shock for me. It started me thinking in a very philosophical way, thinking, okay, my body is doing something I don't want it to be doing. So, who am I and what relationship does this body have to me? Because I can control who I am. I have control over myself. I can decide what I do and what I don't do. But yet this body is deciding separately from my own desire. This body is choosing to do these other things. So therefore, what am I? Who am I? What's the nature of myself? What's the nature of this body? What's the nature of this world that I find myself in? So I found it very interesting that the sages here are giving King Chitraketu the same instructions. Consider these things. What are you? The mind, the body, the soul? Where are you going after giving up this body? Very, very important instructions. And these instructions are also very helpful to remember when we find ourselves in great material perplexity. So many things going on around us, so many passionate happenings, seems like the whole world's turning on end, or turning upside down for that matter. And our whole little world just crashing about this way and that. And we think it's of utmost importance. Oh my God, don't you know what's happening in my life? So if we just remember these very simple instructions from these saints, then it puts things in perspective. We can realize that, well, no, actually, this is just something very temporary. It seems more important than the whole world to me right now, but actually it's not that important. It'll come and go. Just like if anyone's ever had, you know, poison ivy before. It's this nasty rash with these big blisters, and it burns and itches like anything. And when it's burning, man, you just think that that's the end of the world. That's the only thing that matters right then. But if you just, you know, take a step back and just think about things a little bit more philosophically, you realize that, no, this too shall pass. Before I know it, this will be gone also. It'll simply be a memory. And then all of a sudden it loses its urgency. So that's what's needed. Our attachment to this material world needs to lose its urgency. Prabhupada explained in a lecture I heard just recently, forget if I heard it on the altar or in the Sunday morning lecture. Prabhupada was talking about anartas. He was mentioning that an anarta is something that's unnecessary. And so he said that this material body and this identification with this material body is unnecessary. It's an anarta. Prabhupada called it a skin disease. This is the skin disease of this material body, identifying with this bag of skin. This skin is from America. This skin is from India. This skin is from Jamaica. This skin is from Russia. This skin is from Korea. This is all just skin disease, and we take so much pride in the origins of our skin. But all it does is it produces anxiety. That's why it's mentioned earlier in the Bhagavatam, in the last canto that we were in, actually, 5th chapter, text 4. Nunang pramatak kurute vikarma, yad indriya pritaya aprinoti, nasadu manye yat atmanoyam, asanapi kleshada ashadeha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity does not have to take on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies, one after another. So this is what Prabhupada was referring to in the purport to today's verse. He was mentioning, because of a misdirected civilization, people are jumping in material life like cats and dogs, performing all sorts of abominable, sinful actions, and becoming increasingly entangled. And he says later, because people are not educated in terms of the goal of life, they are working like madmen, becoming more and more attached to the material atmosphere. And this is factually true. You know, the nature of karma is exactly like this. The more that we try to balance things, or mitigate things, or increase things, the more it implicates us in this material world. You know, it's like quicksand or like a spider's web. The more you struggle, the more you get entangled. Then the more you get entangled, the more difficult it becomes. And so everyone is struggling so hard trying to reach perfection, but through materialistic means. Like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu. They both wanted perfection also, but they were trying it through materialistic means. Ravana was trying to build a staircase to the heavenly planets. So without any qualification, anyone could just walk up there and enjoy a higher status of life that they're not qualified for. Hiranyakashipu performed extreme penances and then declared himself God, thinking he'd achieve perfection. Little did he know. But that's not actually the aim of life. The aim of life isn't to achieve perfection through materialistic means. Currently, there's so many scientists and economists and politicians thinking, well, if I just manipulate the political environment like this, or if we just try to stimulate the economy like that, or if we just invent the perfect gizmo, or if we invent the perfect medicine, then we can exploit everyone and have complete power and control, and then my life will be perfect. But this is just leading to further and further degradation in society. And it's leading to increased misery rather than decreased misery. Like this whole economic collapse thing. It's just something engineered by people with money to increase their money. If you think about it, having an ever-increasing economy is an impossibility. But that's the theory based upon which our modern society, modern economic condition is based. constant increase in economic production. But that's not sustainable because you can't ever increasingly inflate the economy. At a certain point, it's going to have to crash. And so sometimes people who are very influential, they cause the economy to crash simply to increase their economic holding, you know, at the expense of everyone else. That's how the Great Depression happened at the time, you know, everyone is speculating on the stock market. So basically what happens is people with a lot of money, they encourage people to spend beyond their means, to borrow a lot. And then they cause some event to happen to where they call in all the debt that people owe. And people can't pay it back, so then they have to forfeit all the goods that they purchased. So the people that they purchased those goods from not only get the money that was paid to them, but they also get the goods. So that's what happened during the Great Depression, and that's what happened just recently. And it'll happen again. As long as we base our society on economic production, this cycle will happen over and over again. And it's all because of a misdirected civilization. It's all because people are being educated in the wrong ways. They're not being factually educated in the goal of life. So that's one reason why Prabhupada called centers of higher education slaughterhouses of the soul. Because it's just killing our spiritual inclination. It's brainwashing us into thinking that actually economic prosperity and so-called materialistic advancement is the perfection of life. That by endeavoring for these things, it'll actually bring our life to perfection. Everyone will be happy. We won't have any miseries. We'll have a utopia here in this world. But it's a pipe dream. It'll never happen. But the scientists may claim, well, you know, we've made so many advancements, we've cured so many diseases through our scientific discoveries, through our medicines. But yet last year in 2010, deaths from prescription drugs overtook the number of deaths from car accidents in the United States. So is it really that much better? Having 1 in 10 Americans on antidepressants. 1 in 3 Americans between the ages of 14 and 30 on antidepressants. Is this really better? Is this really a more advanced civilization where we're peaceful and happy and prosperous? So that's why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives a very simple but very profound recommendation. He says, Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apak pravishyanti yadvat tadvat kama yang pravishyanti sarve sashantim apnoti na kama kami. This is text 70 from the second chapter. Krishna says, a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So all this materialistic education and this materialistic advancement and so-called perfection through materialistic means, this is simply striving to satisfy all the innumerable desires that are constantly entering our consciousness and our heart through the senses. And the waves of these desires never are satisfied and they never cease. It's one after another, after another, after another. And as soon as we indulge in one, automatically 10 more are there, saying, oh, well, indulge me too, and I'll bring even greater happiness. And then indulging in those 10, and then 100 more pop up. It's just exponential. The more that you try to satisfy those desires, the more you become entangled, and the more those desires exponentially increase. To the point to where you're just completely overburdened and overwhelmed by unlimited lusty desires for enjoyment in this world. And next thing you know, your head's spinning and you're wondering, why is the sky falling on me? And so then it's times like those when we just need to take a step back and just consider these very simple instructions by these sages. What am I? Am I this body and mind with all their unnecessary desires that just put me in mental torment? Or am I the soul, eternal spiritual being, that actually has nothing to do with this material world? There's a really interesting chapter in The Quest for Enlightenment. It's entitled The Fall of the Soul. It's on page 57. Very short chapter. I think it's only 4 pages long. But it's so profound in its message. In it, Prabhupada says that actually the soul is never fallen. The soul has nothing to do with this material world. It's simply by our misidentification, identifying with one of these temporary material bodies. Because of that attachment, therefore we're feeling the pangs and pleasures of this temporary material body. But actually, we have nothing to do with this material body. Just like an example I've given many times in the past, but say you're driving down the road on a freeway, and you get in a big car wreck. Say you just got some fancy new car. You know, like I know some guys, I've had some friends before that have been total motorheads. And they get all into their car. They put the fancy paint on it. They, you know, trick out the engine. You know, put the fancy suspension and make it go fast and have a big sound in the exhaust, and they just get all into it. It's their baby. And then if that person were to get in a car accident on the freeway, they would be devastated. They would be crying, they'd be in tears, they'd be angry at the person who ran into them, wanting to kill the other person. So much lamentation over what? A material object. So why is it that they feel so much torment over a material object? It's due to the attachment. But yet as they're freaking out, as their world is collapsing around them, there's so many hundreds and thousands of cars passing by them on the freeway, and those people feel no pangs whatsoever. They just see some poor sucker on the side of the freeway with a bent up car. And they think, oh, well, he just wasn't driving good enough. I'm a better driver, I'll avoid that. They don't feel any suffering because they have no attachment for that particular vehicle. There's nothing there. So in the same way, these bodies that we inhabit are vehicles also. Oftentimes, people who are very insensitive, who have no compassion, they see other people suffering and they think, oh, you know, poor fool. If only he knew how to live his life, he could enjoy like me also. But then that person who's really suffering, they're just suffering like anything. You know, their life is a wreck, strung out, so many diseases, broken bones, whatever. And they're just struggling like anything, in so much pain and misery, thinking, this life is hell. But it's just a material object. And it's just through attachment that we experience these pains and pleasures of these material bodies. Because factually, the spirit soul is eternally situated in the spirit world, in the spiritual world. And it's never fallen. It never has anything to do with this material existence. And so as soon as we rectify our polluted intelligence and our degraded consciousness. Free it from these anartas, these unnecessary things. Then we'll once again be in the proper consciousness of where we're factually situated. We'll instantaneously become Jivan Mukta, liberated while within this very body. Be situated back in our spiritual constitutional position. So I think I'll end there if there's any comments or questions. Jai. Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.